I'm Richard Cuff of Allentown, Pennsylvania. You're tuned to the International Radio Report. 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, January the 29th, 2023. My name is Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and we thank you for tuning in to our show. We're here every week at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 15:30 UTC, on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. If you'd like to reach us, our email address is radioreport@yahoo.com. You'll find us live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, very active this week. We are one shy of 900 members. We have a whole bunch who joined in the last week. We welcome Don, Julio, Efeber, Larry, Monimum Jaman, Fayez, Upal, Mohammed, Joshua, and Carl, all joining. You can find us on Facebook. Simply look for International Radio Report. Click the little join this group icon and you'll be part of the crowd. We also have our YouTube channel where you can go at your leisure and listen to the most recent show or previous shows that are filed there as well. Just look for International Radio Report on YouTube or youtube.com/@IRR, where we have 772 subscribers. So we have a lot of information for you this week. The big exciting news, I guess, is the official announcement of the annual NASWA Winterfest, the SWL Festival. The 2023 edition will be taking place on Saturday, March the 4th. It will be a virtual event on Zoom, as it was last year. The details of the 2023 edition of the NASWA Winter SWL Festival have been posted on the Winterfest webpage, which you can find at swlfest.com. The event is going to be virtual, as I said, and it's a one-day conference. The full schedule of forums has been more or less finalized and is posted on that webpage. There will be registration necessary for the event. The details of that are still being worked out, so you can keep an eye on the webpage for that also. The Bob Brown Memorial Hospitality Suite will be operating throughout the event. We'll actually be on the Friday night before the event starts, sort of a kickoff party to get ready for the event on the Saturday. A lot of different events taking place throughout the day on the Saturday, March the 4th. One has been added just recently, and there is a keynote speaker who will be giving a presentation, and that will be none other than Jeff White, the general manager of Radio Miami International. He'll be kicking off the event on Saturday morning. So we'll have lots more details on the event as they become available. In the meantime, if you're interested, keep checking out swlfest.com and you'll have all the latest information showing up. Yeah, we're going to try out a few new things. If you're a ham operator, we're going to try and set up some ham stations where people can check in, and we're going to look at getting a special QSL card made up and what have you. So lots of different things that we're trying to fit into the schedule, and we'll keep you up to date on all of those developments as soon as we have the details.
So we have a news article that actually comes from a Radio Reporter about something very local to Montreal. It's a story about a tunnel closure that causes traffic radio station ratings to soar. So with the pandemic, the traffic had plummeted and the ratings of Radio Circulation Montreal's traffic radio station had declined. But since the renovation of the Louis-Hippolyte Lafontaine tunnel that opened in 1967, the station has become very popular again. The tunnel to be renovated to ensure its operation for another 40 years, passes under the St. Lawrence River and connects to the island of Montreal with the south bank of the river in Longueuil, Quebec. It is a vital access route to the city, and since three of the six lanes will remain closed until November 2025, many have thrown in the towel and opted for the train or the metro. That's up 15%. While those in cars rely on the radio to seek alternative routes. Moreover, Radio Circulation owes its fortune to traffic jams. It opened in 2011, a year before the opening of the major construction site for the Turcot Interchange, a multi-level elevated road system linking three motorways, the Autoroute or Highway 15, 20, and 720. The station broadcasts on 730 kHz medium wave, and in the studio, two editors take turns every half hour in conducting and answering listeners' calls, never losing sight of the 20 or so monitors that show the hotspots at risk of traffic jams. The radio competes with online navigation platforms, but manages to give faster and more up-to-date information than Google Maps and Waze, both in the portfolio of Alphabet, the web giant. So I believe that the radio being live also with up-to-date information is probably very useful here.
Yeah, this station was actually it's quite unique. There's only two of them in Canada. There's one out in British Columbia on the West Coast, and there's this station here in Montreal. And what's interesting is on 730 kilohertz, it's a 50,000 watt station.
Yep.
And really puts out a strong signal everywhere. Now, people pick it up as a DX catch even sometimes. It does broadcast in French only. And as you said, there are live people in the studio through most of the day. They don't do overnight. Overnight, they have just a tape loop that's going, giving you the closures. There's a lot of overnight closures and what have you in the Montreal region. But certainly when there's major storms, snowfalls, major accidents, what have you. And I'm sure people that are on the road a lot, taxi drivers, probably limo yeah. drivers, maybe delivery guys, couriers, that sort of thing, they could probably make a lot of use out of the station. Obviously, it's not going to attract the casual listener. It's there's nothing else but traffic on it. So it's quite unique. It was Transport Quebec that actually funded the station for the first 3 years. After that, of course, they started to bring in advertising revenue and what have you. So it's kind of unique, something interesting to listen to for a little bit just to see how they do it. I mean, it's quite a system, quite an organized system using that network of cameras around the roads and what have you. Anyways, they made, that's an international story. There's a site that we found that has stories about different radio services that they did an article about different radio services that operate in tunnels where it's difficult to pick up signals. So this story made it to that publication. So it was kind of neat to see a local story make it to that international publication. Our next story, we go sort of a radio connection between Canada and Finland. And this is all about DXing. It comes from J.D. Houghton in Discover Moose Jaw, which is a publication from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. The headline, 800 CHABs, sweet, sweet sound heard across the globe in Finland. Have you ever wondered how far away you could be able to listen to radio station CHAB 800, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan? How about 6,181 kilometers away in Lapland, Finland? That's where a group of radio hobbyists were able to hear CHAB. Jari Luoma and Timo Metso are involved in the hobby of DXing, which is the art of receiving and identifying DX distant radio and television signals. The two recently booked a week-long trip to a DXing base camp in northern Finland, 300 kilometers north of the Arctic Circle. On November the 15th, 2022, at around 10 p.m., the two were able to pick up CHAB 800's frequency from their base camp in northern Finland. I heard the words, "An evening of inspiration on 800 CHAB," said Luoma in an interview with Discover Moose Jaw. "That was the station ID that I got that proved to myself that really was 800 CHAB. Luoma notes that it is not an easy feat to be able to pick up an AM radio station signals from North America. It requires some special conditions in the atmosphere. You have to be lucky and have a hunch when it's possible to pick up the AM radio signal. Solar activity is important for this hobby. Their location north of the Arctic Circle creates very good DX conditions as it becomes dark for weeks, and which makes for clear radio signals. The base consists of two cabins and several antennas pointed in various directions to pick signals in different parts of the world. To North America, there are four antennas pointing from the east to west coast, all the way up to Alaska. When the time is right, we use those antennas and record the whole medium wave band. Throughout the camp, the antennas hang 3 to 5 meters above the ground to prevent wildlife from getting stuck in the wires. They use SDRs, or software-defined radios, a specialized radio that connects to an antenna and can be amplified. The radio is then connected to a computer through a USB connection, and with special software, they can listen to any frequency from 540 all the way up to 1700 kilohertz. The recorded data then goes on hard drives, and the two will listen back and check to see what radio stations they heard on that day and where they were located. The end goal of the hobby is to collect QSLs, which is an acknowledgement receipt from the radio station verifying that was their radio station they heard. Luoma has listened to 16 radio stations in Saskatchewan and has received QSLs from 14. So we know what this is all about. We're DXers. But I'm sure the people in Moose Jaw reading this article thought, wow, this is kind of neat. I didn't know people were doing this.
You know, it's something happening in the middle of the night. You just leave the SDR on. You leave it recording a whole spectrum of frequencies. Wake up in the morning and let's analyze what we got during the night. No more overnight DXing and not sleeping.
And you're monitoring all the frequencies at the same time. Yeah. So, you know, DXing, we often, for medium wave, we look at the top of the hour and the half hour as times when most local stations will identify themselves.
So the FCC is publishing Pirate Enforcement Database, and this is by Paul McLean of Radio World. The Pirate Act became law 3 years ago, but thanks to the pandemic and delays in funding, the Federal Communications Commission has been slow in carrying out several of the law's requirements. Now the FCC has published a database listing the people against whom it has taken pirate radio enforcement actions. It has posted field agent openings, begun sweeps of major markets, and planned the purchase of a half dozen specialized vehicles. The part of the law that drew the most news coverage was a big increase in the potential fines, up to more than $2 million. Only one forfeiture order has resulted since then, and it was for $10,000. But it is the additional requirements placed on the FCC by Congress that have been hard to carry out. In 2020 and 2021, the FCC had said it was hampered by the pandemic, which limited in-person investigations, as well as lack of money from Congress. The Congressional Budget Office and the Commission had estimated that the act would cost $11 million to implement, but not until March of 2022 did Congress provide funding, and it was for only $5 million. But the FCC said the money would allow it to start hiring additional staff. In a new report to Congress, it says that so far it had posted 5 field agents and 1 field consul, with more hires planned. It said it also is prepared to buy 6 customized mobile direction finding vehicles, but the purchase is delayed until the GSA purchasing window opens. Until the additional purchases can be completed, the Commission will temporarily retain order existing vehicles in its fleet that were scheduled to be accessed. Commission staff has also begun to purchase and develop investigative tools that will be integrated into the planned new MDFX vehicles. The FCC also said it developed a plan for pirate sweeps, which was initiated in the fourth quarter of 2022, though it didn't list the markets or provide details. The act requires it to conduct annual enforcement sweeps in the top 5 markets where illegal broadcasts are a problem. The act also gave the FCC additional enforcement authority over property owners and managers that allow stations on their properties. The Enforcement Bureau now says that in fiscal 2022, it issued 21 notices to property owners and managers about apparent pirate broadcasts from their property. Because pirate radio stations often cease operating for a period of time, but then return, The Bureau will continue to monitor the properties for which notices were provided and will initiate enforcement actions where appropriate, it told Congress. We will be posting a link to the public database, which went live Monday. It includes a list of past actions, most of which Radio World has reported, as well as a map showing where the actions are concentrated. With New York, Pennsylvania, and Maryland leading, it lists 38 actions over 3 years, including the landlord notice letters, consent decrees, and the $10,000 forfeiture. So we talked about this a lot in the past, where the FCC doesn't have the money. They just don't have the people to enforce everything. So it looks like they're getting more serious here, getting more money, and trying to get more people around to find and chase those buyers around.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to take a look at that that public database. I guess they're purposely making that public so that anybody who's thinking of doing this out there will see just how serious they are and how widespread their tracking is. And with extra people and extra vehicles and extra equipment, it might be a little harder to get away with this type of thing. So I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot more about this in the weeks and months and probably years ahead now. And we'll see if their work is causing a decrease in this sort of activity.
Well, what's happening with our son? Our son was once again quite active, but not as much as the previous weeks. It did have a few flares, but it's quieted down as there are less sunspot groups showing up. And it shows also in the sunspot number, which is now 104. Solar flux, which was above 200 for a couple of weeks, back down to 150. There is a solar wind flowing from a coronal hole that could reach the Earth on February the 1st or 2nd. That will also cause some problems with propagation or some shifting propagation. So the week ahead, it looks like it's going to be more quiet because the sunspot groups are more stable. They're pretty small. And so we are looking for a week of quieter conditions, except for maybe that solar wind that could impact. But conditions overall are good. And of course, there's only one way that you can actually notice all of this, and it's to turn on a radio and listen.
This is John Figliozzi of Clifton Park, New York. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
We next take you to the country of Kyrgyzstan. This is a common thread, though, that's been happening in a few other places. The story comes from Agence France-Presse, from Mike Cooper via Glenhouser's World of Radio, IO Group. Kyrgyzstan seeks to close U.S.-funded radio station. Kyrgyzstan is seeking to shut down the local service of U.S.-funded Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, over a report on last year's fatal clashes with Tajikistan, the authorities said on Monday. The Culture Ministry said it had filed a lawsuit to shut down award-winning Radio Azatik, one of the main media outlets in the Central Asian country. The former Soviet Republic enjoys relative freedom of speech compared to other countries in the region, but rights groups have repeatedly denounced growing pressure on the media. A representative of the Culture Ministry confirmed to Agence France-Presse that a lawsuit had been filed. Earlier in the day, Azatik said the radio station was in hot water over its refusal to remove a video about last year's deadly clashes between Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan in September, in which around 100 people died. Azatik has nearly 2 million subscribers on its YouTube channel. It regularly reports on the political opposition and investigates alleged corruption. The move to close down the station comes 3 months after the authorities blocked Radio Azatik's website and their bank account. Officials accuse the station of spreading hate speech and unconfirmed information about an alleged attack by the Kyrgyz side on Tajikistan. Last week, U.S. Senators Bob Menendez Menendez and Jim Risch wrote to Kurzig President Sadir Japarov, expressing their alarm over the crackdown on independent media. "We are concerned the decisions to block Radio Azatik's websites indefinitely and freeze the service's bank account jeopardizes your country's international reputation as a beacon of free speech in Central Asia," said the letter, a copy of which was published on Friday. Japarov's spokesman said on Sunday that all media outlets were required to respect local legislation. "Kyrgyzstan is a free, democratic country, which has all the conditions for the full-blown functioning of independent media," spokesman Erbil Sultan Bayev said on Facebook. You don't like something you hear? Government steps in and says, well, we don't want anybody to hear this. And they took some really severe steps here in not shutting down just the service of the radio, but they're seizing the bank accounts. And that's pretty severe stuff. Something that happened quite a while ago. I mean, it's fact that those conflicts took place, but they don't want people to hear about it.
You know, it's the delicate balance of the freedom of speech, and that's everywhere. And we got to be careful, and we got to understand that, these stations need to exist and need to find ways to get out that information. It's sad to see that a country that, you know, has a reputation that it's pretty good in its freedom of speech takes these actions against those stations now.
They're going to have to try to get things reestablished, I would hope. But, you know, when they start stepping in and doing things like this, it really hurts the reputation of the country.
Yep.
People start to wonder, you know, what are they not telling us? What do they not want us to hear? So it's really important to have these free voices available to the public. You know, you can't take this freedom of speech for granted.
Nope.
In many places. And it seems here's a case where things may be changing a little bit.
So Cameroon's authorities must shed light on radio station director's murder, protect journalists. And this is via Reporters Without Borders. 5 days after Cameroonian radio station director Martinez Zogo's abduction, his body was found near the capital January 22nd, bearing the signs of probable torture before he was killed. Reporters Without Borders calls on the authorities to do everything possible to identify those responsible and bring them to justice and to protect journalists in Cameroon. The director of Reporters Without Borders Sub-Saharan Africa Bureau said, "This is a grave blow to democracy and press freedom. First, he was brutally abducted, and then his lifeless body was found with the marks of torture. Everything indicates that he was deliberately killed. That this murder of a journalist who was just doing his job must not go unpunished. We urge the Cameroonian authorities to conduct an independent investigation that does not falter and to end the climate of violence against media personnel. Journalists must be able to work safely and without risks of reprisals and to be placed under protection when necessary." When found in Ebogo, a village about 20 kilometers outside the capital, Yaoundé, Martinez Zogo's body was naked and decomposing, his family and colleagues said. He was found a few days after his abduction. According to RSF sources, his body was badly mutilated and his clothes were found scattered within a radius of 100 meters. The body was taken to the morgue of Yaoundé Central Hospital. So far, no autopsy findings have been published, but a government statement said the body has been visibly subjected to significant physical cruelty. Neither the police chief nor state prosecutors have so far issued any statement. But the National Union of Cameroonian Journalists issued a statement denouncing an appalling murder with consequences that will further restrict freedom and security in Cameroon. The director of privately owned Amplitude FM and the host of a radio show, Zogo, often talked about cases of alleged corruption involving well-known figures. He recently began addressing a case of embezzlement allegedly involving Jean-Pierre Belinga, a wealthy businessman and media owner who is said to be close to Finance Minister Louis-Paul Moutaz. Zogo is the second journalist to die in alarming circumstances in recent years. In June 2020, the authorities said regional TV presenter Samuel Wazizi has died in detention after being accused of terrorism. Journalists' safety is a real problem in Cameroon. Paul Chuta, a reporter for Cameroon Web, a news site critical of the government, was forced into a car by unidentified men, given a severe beating, and left for dead at the side of the road on March 9, 2022. 2 days after, he posted a photo on Facebook showing the finance minister. Since then, Chuta does not go out alone. The complaint he filed with Yaoundé Court has yet to produce any results. Chuta reported that he was followed by a black car with no license plate while on his way to the morgue yesterday to identify Zogo's body. And in a Facebook post, he said he was afraid of being the next victim. In the current context, Chuta should be receiving police protection. Once again, showing how in some countries it is extremely difficult to do your journalist jobs and reporting on facts without the fear of something bad happening to you.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like the authorities are in too much of a hurry to investigate some of these cases either, which leads you to believe that, you know, probably some collusion going on between different bodies. And all you're trying to do is, as you said, do your job, get the reporting out to people. And you're constantly having to look over your shoulder. It's not a very fun environment to be working in, I'm sure.
We have upcoming ham radio contests.
If you're a ham radio operator and you like contests, this will be a good weekend for you. We start off with the Vermont CUSO Party, 0-100 to February 4th to 2359 Zulu, February the 5th. That is organized by the Radio Amateurs of Northern Vermont. It's all modes and it covers 160 right up through the VHF-UHF ham bands.
There's the 1010 International Winter Contests, SSB, from 001 Zulu, February 4th to 2359 Zulu, February 5th, organized by 1010 International. It's SSB, and it's only on 10 meters.
We have the Mexico RTTY International Contest, 1200 Zulu, February 4th to 2359 Zulu, February the 5th. That is organized by the Federación Mexicana de Radio Experimentadores. It is RTTY only, covering 80 through 10 meters.
There's the Freeze Your Butt Off Winter QRP Sprint, 1400 Zulu to 2359 Zulu, February 4th, organized by the Arizona Scorpions. It's SSB and CW, all HF bands, but it's QRP only.
Minnesota is having their QSO party, 1400 to 2359 Zulu, February the 4th. That's organized by the Minnesota Wireless Association. It's a SSB, CW, RTTY, and all other digital modes, 160 through 10 meters.
There's the German Telegraphy Activity Group Street Key Party, 1600 Zulu to 1900 Zulu, February 4th. It's CW, and it's on 80 meters.
The British Columbia QSO Party, 1600 Zulu, February 4th to 2359 Zulu, February the 5th. That's organized by the Orca DX and Contest Club. 160 through 10 meters, no work bands. It is both phone and CW.
There's the European Union DX Contest, 1900 Zulu, February 4th, 1900 Zulu, February 5th. Organized by the European Union DX Contest Club. It's 160 through 10 meters in all modes.
And finally, for CW operators, the North American Sprint CW. It's 4 hours, 0-100 to 0-400 Zulu, February the 5th. And that is organized by the National Contest Journal. 80, 40, and 20 meters only. And it is a CW contest.
And we are out of time.
We are. We thank you for tuning in again today. You can catch us here every Sunday morning at 10:30 Eastern, 15:30 UTC, and of course on our YouTube channel, International Radio Report, where you can listen to the show at your convenience. Thanks for tuning in this week. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
This is Yaoundé, the national broadcasting system of the Federal Republic of Cameroon.
Why, you black, ain't you?
Oh, yes, I'm black. So love. Born black. Black, 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 black.